Pour something flammable in your glass. It's Jada Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, I'm on heavy medication due to an allergic reaction, so I can't drink. I will be enjoying coffee, so that means that you actually need to drink twice as much for me.
I was going to say, all I hear are excuses, because don't the pill bottles usually just say, you know, you shouldn't mix with alcohol? I mean,
I've had enough bad reactions in the last 2 weeks to last me for a long time. So you know what? I'm going to skip the beer. I'm going to skip the scotch for this week.
All right. So that's going to lead us to the weekly listener poll for this week.
what are you drinking?
A pussy?
What are you drinking?
Gin. You know it's gin.
Drink
Everyone
double.
Knows it's gin.
Drink double.
I was going to say, I do have the bottle here. I think I can finish it.
All right.
Good it's night. A holiday. It's a holiday in Canada tomorrow.
That's right, man. It's Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for not having a massive allergic reaction on my skin anymore. What are you thankful for, Nathan?
The fact that I get to be involved in the Dark Elf review, because, like,
yay.
Oddly enough, because I, like, we have talked so much 40K of late because I missed the Lizardman release.
Mm-hmm.
When I did, he was traveling, you know, hit Portland and Denver. So I'm just like, fuck, I have not talked fantasy in a long ass time. So I'm thankful I get to.
Fantasy was wondering if you'd been avoiding it.
Well, you know.
It wanted me to ask you, but not like weirdly.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if it came up in conversation.
Right, exactly. Since you brought it up, I followed suit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantasy will be happy I asked, so that it will know that it's not intentional. Fantasy is very, very sensitive. I was saying to Ward when we were recording, seems like Nathan's missed, like, the last couple of fantasy books, and kind of each one is ones that you've wanted to talk about, so... We get
it
to talk
true.
About Dark Elves today, and you get to, just like everyone else, tell me how wrong I am about my opinions, which is super rad, which we're going to get to the weekly listener poll. Let's just talk about what we did this week in hobby. Nathan, you don't have a job anymore, so I suspect you were doing all sorts of hobby-related shit.
A true story. I was painting up some Space Marines, dicking around, fixing up some my demon army here and there. Now that I'm going to be playing fantasy at Onslaught, I'm probably going to paint up a Soul Grinder this week.
Sweet.
But I do have a job interview on Tuesday, and they might offer me a job on the spot, which would really cut into Soul Grinder time. So I may have to just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so busy this week.
Yeah, I used to play bass for Soul Grinder time.
Right?
Yep. You know, we got on stage and we just yelled, it's Soul Grinder time, and cheered. It was short-lived.
And then you left. I mean, it was like Scott Pilgrim
yes.
versus the World. This song is called I Am Sad, So Very, Very Sad.
So sad. So sad. And that's exactly it. So for me, for hobby time, it's been getting stuff ready for Star Trek Attack Wing event and continuing to clean and assemble and prime Firestorm Armada miniatures. Amped. Shit, we could have talked about that for our model of the week. The fucking Firestorm Armada battle stations. Did you see those? It's not our model of the week, but we'll chat about it real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did. I'll have to go bring them up again. Because I glanced at it and I was like, oh, that's neat.
I like them. I think they're really cool looking. I think they did a good job of capturing each different core fleet's aesthetic, which is pretty rad.
I'm very interested
to see if there's going to be some sort of option for them.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, my big thing was I'm on such a pathogen kick right now that I was like, yeah, Terran's okay. The Jindrenzi, I guess we've got double
but you
cocks.
Could putty up
it's like the letter H.
Yes, it is.
And then I got as far as the Directro ones. That's why when you're just like, what are they? I'm like, well, sort of.
One you don't have to continue to explain how it's not worth talking about. Just say, Lang, let's move on to the weekly listener poll.
I said, for me, I think it will be worth talking about. If there are rules for battle stations, like if these are actual, like you can buy these for your fucking fleets, or whether this is just going to be like, this is a scenario you can play, purchase the battle station, deploy it this way, shenanigans.
Yeah, I want it anyways.
Well, yeah. You're on a Firestorm kick.
On a Firestorm kick. Weekly listener poll for this week, or for last week. Do you think that the repeater crossbows are the best unit in the new Dark Elves army book? What did you vote, Nathan?
No.
Okay. And you would be not alone with 66%, with two-thirds of the vote going no, one-third of the vote going yes. I had to defend this in a couple of different situations. You know, I still stand behind it. I really like them. The list that I put together utilizes them quite a bit, but not necessarily in really, really traditional ways. But really, you know, it comes down to which would I rather take in every situation, like which is a must have, which is the one that I'm really going to be working with. Not necessarily I'm basing my entire list around just repeater crossbows, right? I mean, we all understand how fantasy works and what ballista. Yeah, it was one of the comments was like, you know, I just don't think ballista, you know, shooting does anything this game. And it's like, no, I totally understand that shooting's not that great, but there's still bleak swords, right? Like, am I the only one that's missing this? There's still fucking bleak swords.
Whatever the fuck you call them. You have been watching me play my wood elves. You know how little shooting.
Well, I mean, shit. When you out of the basement, you went up against a dark elf list. Guy had two big units of repeater crossbows, just shredded your entire army.
Oh yeah, I literally. I think the only unit I got into combat with ended up being stubborn with a crown of command anyway. So like I said, it was absolutely a one-sided like fucking kick in the pants.
However, I will read some comments here. And I'm pushing on because I think people have commented things you're about to say similarly. Mr. Buddy Langer, I think it was Ryan, he said, I think the 4 plus save on Corsairs with additional hand weapon is a better unit now. Mass ballistic skill shooting just isn't effective. Is that where you're going, Nathan? You think the Corsairs are the way to go?
I was gonna mention Corsairs as being a better unit. I mean, honestly, with Best, I think this book is actually fairly well written to the point where there is no like standout head and shoulders Best. I personally do prefer Corsairs because they have the better save. And if anyone says that repeater panbows don't count as pistols, I'll punch them in the dick because it's obvious they're pistols. Correct. So you know you've got a short 8-inch range, quick to fire repeater crossbow that also gives the additional hand weapon for 11 points. So while you're losing the range, you have a combat unit with a great armor save that can still throw out a massive amount of shooting. And that's for less points.
Well, no, but here's what's interesting. Because
the repeater crossbowman doesn't have a shield, so he's gone up a point for no reason whatsoever in this version of the book. I won't say no reason. He does get murderous prowess and ASF and all this stuff. Yeah. But it's just like the repeater crossbowman is more expensive. He's as good as he was. But I just think that there are units that got better. And that's why I'm like, it's not the best. But I don't really know if there is necessarily a best. Because there are going to be some people that swear by fucking executioners. Because they're basically white lions with a slightly worse armor save to shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Blackguard, which are fucking mean when you stack Power of Darkness. So, I mean, like, you've got so many other units that I'm just like, head and shoulders best? I don't think such a thing exists in this book.
Okay. And
not the way that Phoenix Guard in High Elves. You're like, it's best unit.
Right. And I'm gonna go back and we're gonna debate a little bit here because I know people are gonna be bringing this up to you after the fact. So if you look at the Corsairs unit there on 91, it's 2 points for an additional hand weapon or 2 points for a repeater hand bow. If the repeater hand bow was a pistol and it did give you an additional attack, why is it the same cost as an additional hand weapon?
Because Matt Ward.
Okay, but I honestly think it's not meant to be a pistol.
You know, in which case it does change things. Like I said, honestly, I think right now that's the only part of this book that I'm just like, you really need an FAQ to clear this up. Because I know that in the last version of the Dark Elves book, the repeater handbow was a pistol. Mm-hmm. And it counted as a pistol. So you did get the benefit of getting a couple shots as well as getting plus one attack. That's why I'm like, for here, I don't know. Because why did Matt Ward price it so that a spear is free? Because what's the difference between a bleak sword what's the difference between a spearman and a swordsman? Well, according to Matt Ward, absolutely nothing. They're the same price. And you're like, really? Is parry really that good, fucker?
I think that that's really what all of 8th edition, from what we've seen so far, kind of embraces that whole idea of these little kind of non-specific on a six type roll things that we see are basically given the same consideration as like a basic upgrade. Like it's not like even murderous prowess is not necessarily given a whole lot of, you know, points increase. I think the points increase that we're seeing is specific just to always strike first. Like, I think that's really all we're seeing for the most part.
Absolutely, because, I mean, when you look at the High Elf costing, who had Always Strikes First, they got Martial Prowess for free the board. You know, so I absolutely agree with you with there, you know, on that. But for me, like I said, it's just like there's already some kind of weird pointing things. Because if you look at every other 8th edition book ever, spears cost points. You know, because you're getting additional attacks, and that's a good thing. But here, Matt Ward is just like, nope, I'm going to derp it up. 9 points for each. You know, we're going to just we're just going to treat it that way. And also, I do want to complain. Why don't fucking High Elves have swordsmen? Because could you imagine Shield of Saffrey stacking with parry? Delicious.
if only. But
no, Dark Elves have the unit no one will ever choose to take. Because why the fuck would you choose? Like, of all of your options, I think the worst one is easily your swordsmen.
Yep.
Spearmen, sure, they have a point. Crossbowmen, like I said, they're great. Dark Riders, great. Yeah. Witch Elves, the physical models are the cost prohibitive part of Witch Elves. And Corsairs, like I said, in my opinion, hands down winner of the core section. And I really want an FAQ.
Well, and speaking of things kind of falling on my side, not necessarily something I was talking about, but this does make repeater crossbows pretty fucking amazing. The rules for the Cauldron of Blood, and it's in my list for this specific reason. Otherwise, I wouldn't take the Broadway stairs. is because the rules for the, I think it's like Fury of whatever, which one, Fury of Cain or one of the Cain blood rule. Yeah, basically it says any unit within or any model within 6 inches that has murderous power prowess gets to reroll all wounds, and it's not specific to combat. And that really, really does make repeater crossbows super interesting because of the fact that now all of a sudden they've got ASF, they've got, you know, hand weapon and shield if you're paying 30 points.
Page 34 of your book. Murderous prowess.
No, I know.
Special rule, reroll all to wound rolls of a one when making close combat attacks.
Totally aware of that. However, that's not what the rule for the Cauldron of Blood says. The Cauldron of Blood just says, and I'm going
to... If you have murder... No, I know what it says. It says, if you have murderous prowess, you reroll all to wound rolls. So in other words, hey, you know what? Enjoy...
It's going to be FAQ'd.
Oh, yeah, God,
But until it's FAQ'd...
Actually, you know what? But honestly, you could get 2-3 years out of that because you still have no High Elf FAQ. Like, you could honestly get 2-3 good solid years of power gaming bullshit out of that.
I'm sorry, Nathan, but you need to come back from the cliff edge and you just need to accept the fact that GW thinks that the Banner of the World Dragon is balanced. You just need to accept that that's exactly what it is. They, as far as they're concerned, that's a balanced 100 points there. But really, I mean, again, the way that it's written for this, it says if you have murderous prowess, you get to reroll all wounds. It doesn't say in close combat. It doesn't say according to the murderous prowess rule. It just says if you have it, you get to reroll all wounds.
So that's fair,
it's very possible that it's going to get FAQ'd because it's probably intended for close combat.
I think it's more than likely that it's intended for close combat because honestly, you know, Think like Matt Ward for a little bit. Do you think that he thought, like, let's have a cauldron hangout with missile troops? Or would it always be in combat in the thick of things, especially when you look at the way its rules work?
I think,
get plus one attack with frenzy, have a fucking bound spell that lets you throw frenzy around as well, and, you know, this and that. So, I mean, I just think it slipped his mind. And, again, this is one of those issues where get tournament gamers to playtest your shit because they'll find it within seconds.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? Like, I think they were looking at the Cauldron of Blood and maybe they were thinking to themselves, if we don't do something to make this worthwhile to take in every type of army, not just witch armies, people aren't going to buy it. They're not going to get this kit as often, you know, as we would like them to get this kit.
I was going
to
say that sounds a whole lot like justification. Honestly, I mean,
it is. I'm absolutely
at this moment,
it supports my repeater crossbow stance.
At this moment, sure, fine. If someone did it, you really don't have a leg to stand on just due to the way that the rules are written. Mm-hmm. But expect the first FAQ to come out for Dark Elves to fix that.
It's like, very likely.
It'll be taken out.
But again, it's also not the end of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a game-breaking rule, right? It's not Banner of the World Dragon. There, does that make you feel better? Does that make you feel, are you okay now? No. Can we move on past it? Can we move
hey,
past
honestly,
it?
Honestly, though, reading
damn this, it, Nathan, it's not about your high elves.
I was going to say, only ever made me want to build a high elf list. Because I'm like, yeah, dark elves are okay. High elves are better.
Yeah, and, you know, for the most part, we had a couple other questions here. People who were putting stuff down saying, you know, I played a couple games. Repeater Crossbows didn't do anything for me. A lot of what I was reading was from people who were playing Repeater Crossbows as, like, 10 or 15-man shooting units. And I think that that's the big fault. You got to play them like Seaguard. I think that's what they're meant to be, and that's kind of why they stand out. We'll talk about that when we talk about
lists. I was going to say, anytime you have a multi-shot unit, like, you're hitting on fives. So if you have 15 guys throwing out 30 shots, you're hitting 10 times with a strength 3 missile weapon, you're not going to do shit.
Right.
You know, it's like Empire handgunners. Yeah, your strength 4 armor piercing, but a ballistic skill 3, long range, like, you hit nothing. So you have to make up for that by throwing in the numbers. Mm-hmm. Especially when I think it was the Facebook group where someone said, oh, I like Dark Riders with repeater crossbows. I'm like, why? So you hit on sixes because you're moving all the time? Like, come on. You know, it's volume of fire is the only way that the repeater crossbow works. And that's why for me, I'm like,
I don't think you're hitting on sixes with Dark Riders because the repeater handbows quick fire.
But they have crossbows, not handbows on Dark Riders.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, so thanks to everyone who voted in this week's listener poll. Thanks to everyone who disagreed with me, told me how stupid I was. It always makes me feel good about myself.
It's how he gets through his weeks.
It's really the only thing that motivates me. No, and you know what? Like, there's a couple things I'm gonna come back on when we talk about list building. A couple of units, a couple of magic items, just, you know, on further review and kind of listening to what some other people have said, making a lot of sense. You know, I've kind of maybe changed my stance a little bit. But for the most part, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I said, you know, like, why would you ever take a high Beastmaster? Like, that kind of shit, right?
All right. Oh, I've got a reason. I got a list with a couple of them in. But
well,
it's
how many lists have you built so far?
Honestly, only two, because every time I sat down to read this fucking book, I went and worked on high elf lists.
And
because
you went with high Beastmaster list?
Yeah, I did one that was just the hilarious all monster list.
Okay, hilarious. I got you.
Oh, yeah, not even good. Not even remotely good, but hilarious. Right.
Let's talk about the model of the week.
All right.
All right, so model of the week for this week is the models that were not released for the Dark Elf release. We figured we need to go back and talk about them because we didn't get a chance to actually see something that we liked. So we're going to talk about the Blackguard and the Executioner's box set. Primarily, I think we're going to be talking about the Executioner's. Was that the one you want to talk about, or the Blackguard?
Executioner's.
I think the Executioner's are the ones that stand out.
Yeah, Executioners are actually a really nice
kit. Yeah, Ward and I talked about it a little bit, but I think let's actually sit down and talk about these. I do like the redesign. I like the fact that they're not just these hilariously posed dancing swordsmen with their big tall hats and their funny masks. You know what I mean? Like, I get what they were going for back when they did them, but it was a really, really dated, stupid-looking unit. I love the fact that they redid them with this kind of elfish skull great mouth mask thing. Like, you know, I just think they did a good job with it, and I actually think that the paint job that they put on it really helped to accentuate that quite a bit, and they stand out as a really good, different looking unit. Still hate the swords. I still think they look dumb, but it's hilarious how the Executioner swords are not nearly as thick as, like, the bleak swords, or the fuck they call them.
Oh, see, now I need to go look for.
Oh no, they're like, you see the Avatar on top of the Cauldron of Blood. Like, his sword is the size of the bleak swords.
Oh Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, they've all got Cloud Strife swords, and they're like the old style ones where, like, their fists are bigger than their heads.
Well, again, if it's any consolation, there is literally no Dark Elf player that will ever just look at that and just be like, 9-point swordsman, fucking sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's just, fuck, like, why?
But actually, to go back, I do think Corsairs are probably right up there in terms of winning the core. I think you and I both agreed on the witches, where it's just like, yeah, witches are great, they're still naked.
Yeah, well, and that's the big thing with witches, is you're paying 11 points per model for a unit that is really good. Like, they've got frenzy and poison and fucking pair of hand weapons, so 3 attacks per... 11 points is a really great points cost, because you can literally run a horde of like 60 and you're not breaking the bank for it. I mean,
unless you're talking about dollars.
Well, yeah, fuck.
Unless you're talking about dollars.
Woo, that's $420. You better rob the fucking bank for that unit. Holy shit.
No, yeah, I'm right there with you.
But, again, they're naked.
Yeah.
So every single fucking magic missile and mundane missile is going into them that's going to thin them down. I mean, a Flamespire Phoenix would love to see a horde of witch elves.
God damn it, how funny would that be?
Right?
Okay, but so anyway, executioners.
Talking about when you look at the Executioner's Blackguard, clearly a joint kit because they're sharing bodies, okay? It does look like the same thing that they did with the Spearman Core Box set in that it is a one-piece leg and torso.
Yes.
And you can just see that comparing like your Blackguard and your Executioners. And if you're playing along at home, that's page 70 for Blackguard, 75 for Executioners. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the Executioner heads. Those skull masks are sinister,
yeah.
But they're minimalist. And again, we've said this a number of times with a lot of models where it's easy to go over the top. The Lore Master of Hoeth is that model where it's just like, this was an interesting idea, and then you just gave him everything, and it falls apart. The masks, they're simple, they're minimalist, they're fucking gorgeous. Honestly, I don't really care for the Blackguard masks on the other end. The fucking
same as the old ones.
Top knots, cone heads, spikes,
skip it.
Yeah, hate the heads. I do like the look of the halberds on the Blackguard. The dryiches, whatever. The fucking great weapons on the Executioners. Again, you're right.
Klingon.
I know, right? If I'm not mistaken, if like, just looking at this picture, I believe the sword is taller than the elf itself, which is ridiculous and stupid. So, I mean, like, I find that the proportions of the sword are off. It's clear that they didn't want to change the aesthetic from the old pewter ones. And I find that really questionable. Because, I mean, when Dark Eldar got redone, they changed the entire aesthetic. And I'm not saying that Dark Elves needed the aesthetic to be changed.
Yeah.
But this entire update, despite the fact that this army has gone to basically 100% plastic overnight, which is unheard of. GW's never done it before. Why did they stick so rigidly to all of the old sculpts? Because I think Dark Elf players would have appreciated...
But we said this was the low-effort army book, right? Like, we said this was the phoning-it-in book. We can tell just from the editing errors, for fuck's sakes, all right? Like, even if you're saying, like, okay, the Cauldron of Blood, that's an editing issue. You know, the fact that, like, this hero should be in the Lord section and this hero should be in the hero section. Did you notice that?
Oh, yes, I did. You mean the Blackguard Fleetmaster that has a hero stat line but three wounds, which pumps them into the Lord selection with a hero's magic points?
You got it.
No, that just shit. Because I'm just like, if you compare him to a master, with the exception of wounds three, they're identical. And I'm like, fuck off. Really?
Here's what I don't like about the Executioners. Stupid old banner. Thanks for nothing. Again, I totally get it that, you know, you're just like, but these guys just have banners, whatever, go to hell. We've seen some gorgeously sculpted banners. Why do we just get the flat, you know, friggin' rolled it with a cookie, with a, you know, like a roller.
It looks like they're old banners.
Exactly, right?
Plastic shit.
Then there's that stupid fucking like shrunken helmet on top with the two little butcher knives, just in case you forgot for a second that these were executioners. You need that little symbol just to fucking remind you that these guys are executioners.
You know what? Looking at them closely, you know what I wish they'd done for all of them? That champion's axe.
It would be very, very cool. Yeah,
that is absolutely slick as fuck. And if you had a unit that instead of the giant greatswords were all just those axes.
That would be great. Go to hell, Nathan. you know what I find really interesting is... when you brought up the point about them having the singular body, torso, legs piece, you know, it does kind of make you wonder, you know, how many of these parts are going to be swappable back and forth between like your standard Dark Elf Warrior box set. And then these guys, like say you go and you make some Blackguard, well, you could go ahead and like pull these heads off and go put them on like your unit champions, some of your heroes and stuff like that. Like it really is a cool box. And I mean, I'm not saying a whole lot bad about the Blackguard. I think for the most part, they're Blackguard. They're the same as they were before, a little bit cleaner, a little bit sharper, but really nothing to call home about.
Yeah, honestly, I would rather move the heads from the core box set onto my Blackguard, keeping the bodies and the halberds, and I think that would be a better model, because honestly, it's the fucking
it's just over the top.
Spiky topknot bullshit.
And you don't give a shit about the topknot. And we've talked about this ad nauseum. We don't give a shit about topknots. Give me some fucking Phoenix wings, goddammit. All right, so that was our model of the week. You know, let's just get right into this, Nathan, because I feel like it has to be done.
All right.
You disagreed with my review of the magic items. Because we're going to get to list building. Just fucking relax.
Okay.
But why don't you just break down how wrong I am?
You know what? Honestly, the only thing that I really disliked was your thing on the black amulet. I think you completely missed the boat. The item is overcosted at 60 points. It's only available to a Dreadlord or a Supreme Sorceress. And if you're gearing up a Dreadlord to win challenges, he doesn't have the points left to dump 60 onto a 4-up board save. Like, you're paying 15 points extra for a 50-50 chance on reflecting a wound.
Yep.
Which, should it happen, yeah, I mean, you know, if that's what does it, if, you know, the fucking Chaos Lord's down to one wound left because your ASF punched two off, and he goes, and you make your ward save, and that kills him, yes, you're going to remember it. But yep. I just feel like you're screwing your Dreadlord by dumping 60 points into a ward save. And that's the only thing that, like, of your
magic items. And I agree. Items. I agree because, really, like, coming back on that one, even when I was looking at building my list, it was like, yeah, there's no way that this will ever fit into a list. Like, even if I try to shoehorn it in some way, it's just there's no reason to throw it on there.
Yeah.
And I would be very, very hard-pressed to take a Dreadlord in pretty much any situation.
Oh, I agree.
Because,
I
really, agree. It's like you take Malice Darkblade or you just don't take a Dreadlord.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing is your Supreme Sorceress sure as fuck doesn't want to be in a challenge. So if you want her to have a 4+, you just buy her the Amulet of Preservation and be done with it. And yeah, that's exactly it.
Or really, you don't even buy the Amulet of Preservation. You just get the Cloak of Twilight. Because Cloak of Twilight's a 3-up ward save against any ranged attack.
And you put her on a Pegasus and fly the fucker away.
And that's exactly what you do, right? So, I mean, if they catch her on a Pegasus, it doesn't matter if she has a 4+ ward save, she's fucking dead. Right? So, I mean, the 3+ ward save against shooting, it's the better way to go. It's kind of all you need. And for 50 points, you know, 5 points more than a Talisman of Preservation, totally, totally worth it.
The only other thing that I think, other than like a unit here or there, is with Lore of Dark Magic, I think you were far too drunk to notice just how much Shroud of Despair is the second best spell in that lore. Because Shroud of Despair, being able to pick a whole fucking aura of units on a 10, which is, I think, the cheapest aura spell.
Yes, I was drunk.
And say, you can't use your general or BSB, and everything you fail is just going to fuck everyone further on.
Yeah.
The Shroud of Despair is the reason you take Tome of Furion. Straight up. Like, you're just like, it doesn't matter, because you're absolutely right, where it's just like, yeah, Soul Stealer's good, Black Horror's okay, but again, there's too many ways to fuck yourself on it.
Right.
Chillwind, you know, Word of Pain and Blade Wind, yeah, they're okay enough, but not great, but I'm just like, Shroud of Despair is why you buy Tome of Furion, so that way you know that you're taking Power of Darkness, Doombolt, Shroud, and you throw 3 dice, knowing you're trading 2 of them, in the hopes of picking Soul Stealer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the best thing that you could ever possibly do.
And then Power of Darkness and Doombolt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's the only thing, is that when you're like, oh, Shroud of Despair is stupid, and you can kind of pair it off, and I'm just like, you are far too drunk to not notice how outstanding.
I was also trying to get the episode done because we were like,
already. Oh, I know. I started listening to it when I got home from Thanksgiving at 8, and I was like texting you at 9:40, just being like, still listening.
Yeah. All right. So let's break down some lists. Why don't you start this time, Nathan?
Sweet. I'll talk about the bullshit one and why I made it that way. So, monster list. This one I don't think has a wizard in it for shits and giggles. So what I did is I started with 2 Beastmasters and I put them in the chariots. And the reason I put them in the chariots is you incorrectly said that they get Cold One chariots, but they actually get Scourge Runner and a ballistic skill 7, strength 7 bolt thrower that has a 50% chance of inflicting an additional wound onto monsters is fucking outstanding.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he's getting it for free. Both of mine are naked because who gives a fuck? You know, I'm basically looking at taking them for three reasons. The first being ballistic skill 7, strength 7 bolt throwers. The second being the ability to throw D3 attacks onto Hydras that are going to lose wounds before they get to swing. So it's kind of trying to keep them up at their full combat output of 8 attacks as long as possible. And if my opponent fluffs their rolls and I'm at 8 plus D3, woe be to them. And the third thing is your chariot is going to be able to kind of help you tip a combat whichever way you need it to later in the game with your impact hits. So I definitely felt that the Scourge Runner chariot on the High Beastmaster is head and shoulders the better choice over the Manticore.
Like the Beastmaster's pulling the chariot?
Pulling?
Well, you said the chariot on the Beastmaster.
That is true. Absolutely. I mean, you know,
where can I buy these?
It is like fucking arms and cardio, okay? He's just like fucking working it.
Fucking High Beastmasters never skip leg day.
No.
Ever. Fucking, you don't know when you're going to need that shit.
Straight up.
That's interesting. Okay, so how many monsters?
Because like I said,
beef.
Sorry?
How many monsters are in it?
6. I straight up just take 4 Hydras with Flaming Breath and 2 Charybdises. Because the big thing is like I said, I do feel that you are straight up Charybdai.
Charybdisai. I think that this is another one of those moments where we need to just say, like, it's a murder of Carnifex.
Like, yeah, right?
A tidal wave of Charybdai.
Yes. Because here's the thing. Honestly, when I saw the Hydra, obviously it is less survivable because it loses its straight up regeneration in exchange for, in my opinion, a more balanced, you at least have a straight up shot at killing it. Because like when you look at old Hydra, it was a monster and handler. So you had it had a 5+ ward save of kill a fucking useless crew, which was bullshit. And then it had regeneration, and it was probably for 195 points, like the single most survivable monster in the game.
Yes.
So going down 35 points in, you know, where you trade it for, its raw combat output went up because it's getting more attacks at full strength.
Yeah, slightly.
I mean, it's, you know, 6-1 half doesn't matter. Yeah, I know. That's the big thing, like you pointed out, is you're going to end up taking wounds. Honestly, I think that if you're smart with your fights, you're not running into too many situations where you're just absolutely losing a Hydra before it gets to swing, because it's still toughness 5 wounds.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, it's got a decent amount of staying power. The High Beastmasters keep its attacks up, give them all Flaming Breath, so that way, you know, pop your breath weapon.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Stomps, you don't get that free breath weapon anymore, and I believe
it's 20
points. It's still strength 5.
It is.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about the strength of the breath weapon going down, at least.
Yes, and that is one of the better things. That's, again, one of those trade-offs. So you're just like, you know, obviously if it survives, I get a chance to pop a few wounds back at the beginning of my turn. I think that you were harsh on the Hydra, because I personally saw it and I was just like, fuck me, why would you not take 4?
I totally disagree.
No, I know you do, and I know there's nothing I can say, but like I said, I saw it.
I've heard some horror stories this week from people who are just like, oh yeah, no, it just, you don't even get to like roll that 4+, like one head comes back thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, in almost every combat it dies, like toughness 5 wounds, you know, with a 4+ armor save is pretty much meaningless against everything.
Mean, I was going to say, depending on what you're fighting, right?
You have to be super smart about what you're doing.
Big Brick of Swords with Predatory Fighter are going to tear it the fuck apart. Anything out of the Warriors of Chaos book is going to tear it apart.
Anything strength 4 is going to tear it apart.
Strength 4 multi-attack is really its bane, which is why, like I said, Soros, Warriors of Chaos. I mean, Empire Halberdiers, I'll go into that. Fuck yeah, give me some of that loving. But anyway, 4 Hydras, 2 Charybdis, 2 Beastmasters on Chariots because Ballistic Skill 7.
Yep.
You were right when you're talking about it, Ballistic Skill 4 moving. Like it's really quite bullshit when you look at a 2-foot range bolt thrower in the special section for 150 points. But when you look at what does the Manticore do versus what does a Ballistic Skill 7 bolt thrower do, and I think that that's really the only place you'd ever want to take it. And then my compulsory core was just 5 units of 5 Dark Riders with shields, crossbows, and a musician and standard, because hot damn, do I need banners for Blood and Glory.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the question I'll then throw at you there, Nathan. What would you rather take, two Scourge Runner Chariots at Ballistic Skill 4 or one at Ballistic Skill 7?
Because it's the same points cost at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think that I would take the Ballistic Skill 7 because, you know, realistically, you never want to be within a foot because then your chariot gets charged and it's fucking dead, which means that your Ballistic Skill 4 chariot's always hitting on a 5. So even two of them are going to miss more often than not. They should statistically miss this both of them in one turn. Your High Beastmaster, on the other hand, will always hit on 2s. Always. Mm-hmm. Unless he's being affected by magic hexes and things of that nature, which are a little bit harder. So it's always him. But the question is, do you have 300 points in your Lord slot?
Right.
Because, I mean, like, you don't want to buy him any fucking weapons upgrade. Like, yeah, he can take 100 points of magic items, which is yay. I mean, yes, he has a Dreadlord profile, but I think that it's missing the reason you're taking him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you really start to gear him up is you're taking him because for 300 points, you're getting a very reliable strength 7 bolt thrower. Yeah, like I said.
That's a lot of points.
Honestly, the only list that has ever put in a High Beastmaster that I've thought of is a monster list. Okay, and well, that's only because of his buffs to monsters.
You already have two Charybdis in your list. But again, would you rather take two Charybdis or one High Beastmaster on a fucking horse chariot?
I would take
Scourge the Runner.
I was gonna say I would take the Charybdis because flat out they are your anti 1+ save.
Yeah,
they are your single most effective, you know, way to deal with fucking Derpigriffs and Chaos
Stomps are great. Crushers.
Well, the thing is being a monster. You can't be stomped by all of those bullshit. So when you look at, like, because, like, realistically, what makes Derpigriffs good? Well, they're fucking multi-wound, 1+ save, monstrous calves. So they're stomping, they're throwing 3 attacks out, they've got killing blow. Everything your Charybdis just straight up ignores. Strength 7 is modding those armor saves down to a 5+. That is 100% where you want to deal with units like that. Because your executioners are going to get torn apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're basic infantry.
Yeah. Well, and as I said, you got to love that weapon skill 5. I think that was one of the things that really sold me on it. You know, it's a very tricky way of playing, but yeah, this monster into the Dark Elf army. Yeah.
Two Charybdis would, you know, because it's even rare choice instead of Lord. Like, it's just, they are very, very good. I do definitely think that the Charybdis is the monster of choice. I mean, as decent as the Hydra is, at the end of the day, one Hydra is worthless. You have to run them in pairs so that
like when chariots.
And that's realistically what it is. And honestly, for 115 points, I'd rather have a Cold One chariot than a Hydra. But with that being said, like I said, I still think the Hydras can be good, but you now have to dump the points in. So you have to say, yeah, am I going to take 2 to 3 Hydras or am I going to take a big brick of Black Guard?
Well, and that's... That was the situation I found myself in for my list was, do I just throw a random monster in there or do I double down on monsters? And I decided I'm just going to leave the monsters out, stick with Dark Elves, because if I decide I really, really need the monsters, it's 2 Charybdis.
Oh, absolutely. Because like I said, the fucking strength 7, weapon skill 5, the fact that it still has poison attacks, which gives you a decent...
Why the fuck not?
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, like, what I love about poison attacks is you are eliminating unnecessary rolls to try to get your, like, 100% hit extra D6, right? So it's just like, you know, you've got it. And, you know,
and poison. Like the howl.
Oh, fuck, that howl is game breaking. Like, nice. 2 Charybdis against an Empire list with Shroud of Despair because of your Tome of Furion, you're winning games just off that combination where you're just like, my aura says that you're not using your general, you're not using your BSB, so even though you have Hold the Line, which is, like, cold-blooded, you're still leadership shitty because you're Empire. And now I'm forcing you to reroll successes, so there are definitely some good things you can do against low leadership armies.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Okay, so let's talk about my list a little bit here.
All right.
So the list that you built there, what was that, 2,500?
24. Although, in fairness, I have about 160 points I didn't know what to do with, which could have been anything, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find myself in a situation where I got some extra points as well. So for mine, it's 2,500 point list. I got Malice Darkblade as my general. I got a level 4 on a Dark Pegasus with the Cloak of Twilight. Depending on how I shuffle my points around, she basically either has a Dispel Scroll or a Tomofurion. I mean, I haven't played enough to really know which one is the one I'm really going to go for. As much as I like the Tomofurion, I think that I agree with Brian Malorian. He was kind of talking about it on his YouTube series a little bit, and he was saying like, well, okay, I'm paying 25 points for something that I'm probably going to get anyways if I roll doubles for my spells, right? So like, yes, it's a guarantee. Yes, it's great to have. But there's enough cases out there where you're just going to roll doubles for your spells anyways that, it kind of feels like wasted points. But, you know, I think that's kind of where I ended up landing with it. It more likely it's just going to be a Dispel Scroll with her. I got a BSB, Light Armor and a Shield, Sea Dragon Cloak, Lance on a Cold One with a Talisman of Preservation, and an Iron Curse Icon. As much as I said I like the chill blade, the big problem with it is, you know, if I'm building for it, I'm really gunning for it, it's always going to leave that BSB empty. And I'm not going to see myself taking like an additional master in my list to fill points just to get that thing in there. Like, I'm not throwing out another 140 points for a guy with the chill blade because, again, we're talking about like that 20 point difference between him and a fucking Charybdis, right? It just, you know, I like it. I love the rules. I think they're super cool. I totally think you could do it if you just had extra points laying around. Like, put it on the your fucking super hag, whatever the fuck her name is. You know what I mean? That one. You know, because she can take one magic weapon up to 50 points. It's like, hey, you know what? That's a pretty decent magic weapon to throw on, you know, this witch that doesn't have any chance of really doing a ton of wounds anyways.
I don't know, though. I mean, an Ogre Blade is 40 points. And with Murderous Prowess, you're basically wounding automatically anyway, and you're saving 10 points. I think that's my problem is I'm just like, Chill Blade I'd pass on 100% of times.
Yeah, and I mean...
Because even then, I could take an Ogre Blade and an Enchanted Shield. And now I've got an extra 5+.
Oh, you can't take armor on her.
No, I'm not saying on her, but even if I was taking a master, I could take an Ogre Blade and an Enchanted Shield, and I'll have a standing 1+ save with Strength 6 and Murderous Prowess. It's just as good. And yeah. I'm better. I'm more defensive.
Again, it depends on what you're fighting. You know, whether you're talking about monsters or you're talking about all sorts of different stuff. You know, one of the things I was talking about was putting it in a unit of Cold One Knights with, like Razor Standard and all that kind of stuff, just to make up for other things, or taking, you know, Potion of Strength to go with it, so on and so forth. But again, that involves you taking a fucking Lord level. All right. So, BSB, Cold One, Talisman of Preservation, Iron Curse Icon. Obviously him and Malice Darkblade are in a unit of 13 Cold One Knights. So just
5x3.
That unit does have a Razor Standard, just because, you know what?
I was going to say, that unit's like 450 points without characters right now.
Pretty much.
So Leg's Army is the Cold One Knights.
Well, you know what? Like, I know a lot of people don't subscribe to Cavalry or Knights at all, but I really think, like, a big unit like that, running around with a great save, they don't have to worry about stupidity, they hit really hard. You know, if people want to just dump everything they have into that unit, you know, there's a lot of guys in there to kill, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's the best way to keep your BSB safe. I think anytime you're playing a character that's toughness 3, it doesn't matter how much shit you're tossing on him, he's going to die, right? Like, even like, you know, your high elf BSB, like, you can put every magic item on him and just go crazy, 1+ rerollable. It's like he's going to get dropped. But I think, you know, you put him on a Cold One with a 1+ save, with a 4+ ward save, in a unit of knights that's pretty big, with another big character in there to kind of get people's attentions elsewhere. You know, I think it's a good place for him to be.
Just make sure that when you deploy it, he's not in base contact with Malice in case you unleash Zarkhan.
That's correct. And you're going to unleash Zarkhan. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you're just not going to do it early. That's
well, you know, you're going to do it in that in that moment, you need to do it, you know, where it's like, all right, I need as much hitting power as I can muster. Bam, here it comes. Not like, I'm charging the 10-man handgun unit.
You know? All right, I'm about to declare a charge against your fucking, like, fast cat.
I unleash the demon!
I flee. Oh.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I've got a 40-man unit of repeater crossbows, full command with a war banner. In that unit is a hag on a cauldron of blood with cry of war. So it's essentially a big, huge block in the middle of the board. It's a massive movement tray, as you can suspect.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting the extra rank of shooting.
20 by 2? Or no, cry of war. Sorry, I'm flipping this.
Cry of war is the one where you have to take your the leadership test at minus 3.
Oh, okay.
For fear.
That's right? Good.
Yeah, because the cauldron causes terror. So when you're in combat, you know, you're causing fear. So in combat, causing fear at minus 3, that's pretty nice. I think for 15 points, you know, it's a great upgrade to have. And again, like, she's pretty much naked and literally naked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean pretty much?
Sorry, my bad. But anyways, you know, put her on the cauldron, put her in with the unit of repeater crossbows, make use of that rule. You know, it's going to give you a great amount of shooting. And again, it's still a big unit that can fight in close combat. You know,
I would buy them the shields, though.
Oh, I'm absolutely buying them shields. Sorry, I didn't mention that. Yes, repeater crossbows with shields. For fucking 1 point, it doubles their capabilities.
Well, yeah, because at that point, they are...
They're bleak swords.
Swordsmen. Yeah. I refuse to use the
stupid... I know. I had to get around it because people were just... They were constantly correcting me. Yeah, man, bleak swords. And I'm just like, fuck off. Go shit yourself.
Swordsmen. Yeah, because, I mean, basically, they're saying that... The repeater crossbow is worth 4 points, and I'm kind of on board with that.
I think it's a great shooting weapon, and again, the rerolls are great. You absolutely want it. I also have a unit of 26 Corsairs, full command, with the additional hand weapon. Because I don't think the repeater hand bows is necessarily the way I need to be going. I mean, I could throw them in front of a couple of different units and get a pop off a couple of shots, but I'd rather have the extra attack.
Well, no, I mean, like, I hear you. Like I said, I honestly think that they should have pistol and they will have pistol in an FAQ. If they don't, great, always go additional hand weapon. Yeah. If they do get pistol, always go hand bows because it's at least a little bit extra shots. Because, I mean, quick to fire, no move and shoot, and may always stand and shoot.
Yeah, I think if they had made the repeater handbow the 2-point upgrade and, like, they just came with two hand weapons, it would absolutely make sense, right?
Well, but if that's the case, the 9-point Black Art Corsair with a pair of hand weapons would be the best crew, like, core choice in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Bar none.
All right, so I've got the, like I said, 26 Corsairs. The Coldwell Knights, I already said before. Yep. And, like you said, that big unit of knights is fucking expensive.
Yeah, you're spending about 1,000 points on your characters and that unit, roughly. Actually, it's about 900, but...
Yeah, it's in that range.
I was going to say, your Dark Shards at 40 per is already... Well, I mean, Malastar Blade's
not that expensive. That's what's nice about Malastar.
Well, he's 300 points a unit that's 480, so...
Yeah. I think, you know, it's absolutely going to be my hardest hitting unit, but it's not the unit that my whole army is hinging upon. I think... The cauldron with the repeater crossbows, you know, with support from the Corsairs. But anyways, like I was saying, I had about 160 points left over, and it was basically a toss-up between take 8 shades with great weapons and musician, just so I've got a little bit of extra mobility, or take a Charybdis.
Actually, yeah, for 160 points, I would say the Charybdis.
Yeah, I love the shades with the great weapons, and I think that they're going to be like just a super, super good like utility unit. You know, they've got shooting, they've got great weapons, they're skirmish, all the extra bonuses you love from shades that never leave. And so I'm kind of sitting there going, well, I could absolutely take these guys and feel pretty good about it, or I could take a Charybdis and just have another big scary thing on the table to distract from all the other big scary things I have on the table. Because obviously what this army is suffering from is, you know, all 3 big units. Done. Right? Like, that's the big issue of this army.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, honestly, Steadfast will kill you.
Well, yes.
you know, your knights are not going to bust through steadfast, and when they're not charging, they're pretty weak. I mean, yeah, they're throwing out 3 strength 4 attacks per, yep. Obviously not
that's counting why I went razor standard.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously not counting your characters. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, if they're not charging, their damage potential just drops significantly. It's not Bretonnian bad, but it's just like suddenly you're going to struggle.
Well, I think what makes them really nice for ongoing combat is the Razor Standard is also going to affect the Cold Ones, and the Cold Ones have 2 attacks apiece now. At strength 4, 2 attacks mm-hmm. apiece, -2 to armor save, with the Riders doing essentially the same thing. That's a ton of attacks coming out of that front rank with the characters on top of it. So, I mean, I like the way that they can fight in continuous combats. I mean, they're not amazing, but they're not mm-hmm. Empire Knights turn 2.
Oh, yeah, God. They're not like
you know Bretonnians. What I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Bretonnians are always the army where you're just like, all right, I'm going to deploy deep ranks mm-hmm. because you're only 3 wide, and as soon as I absorb your charge, you are fucking worthless.
Right, and I mean, you know, I just think that it this is a really fun way to play Dark Elves. I think it can be very competitive just for the fact that you're forcing your opponent to really kind of play on your terms. And yeah, you're just going to keep marching forward, get into a decent range for your repeater crossbows to do some work. And, you know, nobody's going to want to go up against the knight unit unless they really have something specially built for just dealing with knights.
Silver helms with shield of Saffrey, go.
Oh, no, exactly, right? Like, and that would just be a great toe-to-toe type fight. But with all of the rerolls for close combat, you know, murderous prowess, all that kind of stuff, I feel like this is utilizing that really well. So, yeah, that's my list. I'm 50-50 on Shades of Charybdis. That's really the big.
I was going to say, the best part about Murderous Prowess is that it pays dividends the higher the strength. Because as soon as you are wounding on a 2+, Murderous Prowess basically kicks it to an auto wound. Mm-hmm. You know, because at that point you have a 1 in 36 chance of not wounding. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, whether that be Executioners, Cold One Knights on the charge, you know, that like Shades with great weapons, although they're only strength 5, which mm-hmm. is, you know, Blackguard with Power of Darkness
right.
territory.
Right.
No, like I said, I think it's okay. I think that Steadfast kills you, you know. But again, that's an area where Shroud of Despair is able to help you, because the biggest thing that mm-hmm. most big Steadfast units have is, you know, I'm using my general and I'm using my BSB to get me up to like fucking leadership 10. Because the other thing is even if you look at Skaven Slaves, which are the biggest tar pit in the game, you take Hold Your Ground and Inspiring Presence out. Now they're leadership 5. Mm-hmm. You're blowing through that unit.
Well, yeah. And I think if
Steadfast on leadership 5. Oh, no.
Yeah. I think with Shroud of Despair, if that really does come down to just being the linchpin of this list, then yeah, it's Tome of Furion instead of the Dispel Scroll. You know, because she's on the Pegasus, because she has the 3+ ward save against ranged attacks, you can get right in the right position to pop that shit out.
Well, especially, it's a 12-inch aura. You put mm-hmm. it right in the middle. Now your entire opponent's army can't use Inspiring Presence or Hold Your Ground. That means that the BSB's unit itself can't reroll.
No, exactly, that's right?
Fucking huge.
And then the Charybdis is doing big things, and then the Hags cry for fucking like leadership tests, you know, for fear checks is huge. But yeah, I pondered giving the repeater crossbows frenzy, but like frenzy at -3 and the chance that my SP is going to be too far out, I just don't think it's worthwhile doing, especially with the shooting unit.
Yeah, I was going to say missile troops should not be frenzy, right. Especially with the -3 on Witch Brew, because you're just like, all right, on a 5. I'm declaring a charge.
Once I'm in combat, if I throw the bound spell out, give him frenzy. Hey, great.
I was going to say, but the other thing is the cauldron's already helping you, whether it's in the unit or besides. So, no, that's good. My actual not bullshit piece of shit list.
Oh, well, I got a question for you here before you actually get into it.
All right.
It was funny. Somebody said to me in one of the comments, it was actually on the episode, the comment was just like, the fuck's wrong with you? Sisters of Slaughter, what do you mean you like Sisters of Shit? It's like, well, if you remember what I was talking about, was just like, no, I like them. I like the rules. I think they're cool, but never going to take them. So,
yeah, I mean, I look at Sisters of Slaughter, and in my opinion, they are comparable to Swordmasters for High Elves in that they are a unit that, should they get into combat, are a pain in the ass. And they should be winning most of those combats if they get there. But the lack of an armor save entirely means you either bet the farm or you leave them at home. Right. So you're either going to take a unit of 40 or 50, which is a fuckload of points because they cost the same as Blackguard at 15 per, knowing that you're losing 10 to 20 getting in.
Right. Or you take a 10-man unit like you would with Swordmasters, and you just put them on the flanks and you put them in there to go, you know, fight and chew stuff up. But yeah, there's no reason to take them.
And that was the thing that I was always doing with Swordmasters, where I was just like, I have a 7-man unit. Why? Because it's cheap as fucking borscht, so that if you shoot it, you'll wipe it out to a man, and I don't give a fuck. And if you ignore it, it's still going to fuck you in your face.
Yeah, it's going to get up in your grill. All right, so let's hear your list.
All right, so not piece of shit stupid, like how many monsters can I cram in?
All right, we got it.
So I started off with a Supreme Sorceress, level 4, Sling and Dark Magic with a Tome of Furion and an Amulet of Preservation.
Yes, there you go. Not on a Pegasus?
Not on a Pegasus, because I wanted her to Power of Darkness up a unit, because remember, the wording on Power of Darkness is that her unit gets it.
Oh, she I know.
She cannot cast it on anyone but herself and her unit, so she's in a big unit elsewhere in the list.
Gotcha.
I then took a Master, made him my BSB, gave him Heavy Armor, Sea Dragon Cloak, put him on a Cold One, because that's a 1+ right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then just gave him a Dawnstone because a 1+ rerollable on a hero is pretty damn slick.
Yeah, it's nice.
Gave him a Lance, and he's under 150 points. So he's got a decent amount of survivability. He's obviously going to lose to dedicated combat heroes like Chaos Lords, you know, kitted out attack heroes and such, like Lords.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him in those fights anyway, so who the fuck cares? I then took a... Sorry, I'm looking at this and I have no idea why I took her. But okay, I took a Death Hag with Witch Brew and an Ogre Blade.
All right.
No reason. No. Looking at this in hindsight, I would drop her in an instant and take her.
Yeah, I assumed you were making sure you had something had Frenzy.
Yes, that was it. I think when I built my heroes first, and then when I was building my list, I removed things. So she was going to go in a unit that's no longer in the list. Anyway... then I had a 30 repeater crossbowman, full command with shields. They're just going to stand 15x2 and rain death. That's the whole point of them. Should something get close, I'm going to reform into a 5x6 and hold them up with hand weapon shield parry.
Mm-hmm.
I then had 2 units of 5 dark riders with crossbow shields, musician, and standard, because fast cav redirectors are great, as well as cheap, easy banners for blood and glory.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a unit of 29 Blackguard with full command. That's where the Supreme Sorceress goes, because I want to boost them up with Power of Darkness.
Okay, yeah.
And then I had 11 Cold One Knights that'll run 6x2 where I put my Master in, and I have 3 Cold One Chariots. And that was 2,400 points. But like I said, in hindsight of this, I would... drop the Death Hag, take a Charybdis by dropping a command, like a champion.
Yeah, like a some such pointing thing here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I lose the champion from the Blackguard, drop the Death Hag, and that's a Charybdis, which is absolutely what I would do.
Yeah, Cold One Chariots are, again, it was another one of those things I kept going back and forth to. Do I want to make my knight unit smaller and just take another Cold One Chariot?
I was going to say, you know, the thing with is, you know, I've, again, like we talked about when we were talking about the models, I've sent you probably like 50 Dark Elf lists in the last, you know, year.
Yeah.
Every one of them have Cold One Chariots, because I do believe that at 115 points, Cold One Chariots are second only to Chaos Chariots with marks in terms of best chariots in the fucking game. They cause Fear of the God, you know, Scythed Wheels, tons of attacks out of the 2 Cold Ones. Great riders, you know, they still got, you know, so it's just like, why would you not take them? And as we've always said, run chariots in pairs. 3 is better, because realistically what this list splits off into is Blackguard take the middle, repeater crossbowman on one flank, knights with 1 chariot on the other flank, and then 2 chariots go off and do their own thing. So that way I can charge in with the knights. If they don't break someone, the chariot's going to throw in and make sure that I'm winning the next combat big. You know, and that's the way the buddy system was working with it. Again, I like the list. I don't like it as much as I like Hyles.
That's what I talked about last. Yeah, last episode, you know, that was one of Ward's big questions is, well, which one's better? It's like, well, no, High Elves are better. They are better. Like,
well, okay. I mean, here's the thing. I feel, and it pains me to say this, I feel that Matt Ward did a very good job on both books. And I personally think that they are even in all things. I know that the way I personally build lists and like to play suits High Elves a bit better. I also know that there's some people that are just fucking balls to the wall aggression, in which case Dark Elves are going to be a better fit for them. You know, so that's the thing is I'm like, I don't feel that High Elves or Dark Elves are better. I think that you can easily find one that's going to match your play style, and then it's going to come down to list construction and generalship. And that's what I actually really appreciate about these fucking, you know, both of those books. And what actually excites me for the Wood Elf book, should I ever see it someday, because again, as I texted you, I'm like, am I going to get Mossy Prowess? Because Matt Ward needs to keep M.
Well, that was going to be the listener poll question. We'll come back to that.
All right. I was going to say, the moment you said one of your options, I was like, that is absolutely what I'm getting. And I will tell you the bonus that I will get from it as well.
I already have a bonus as well. So I think this will be...
I was going to say, I think we're both pretty much on...
I think we're on the same money there. Yeah. Okay.
No, but I mean, like, that's the thing is I'm just like... I personally feel that High Elves fit me because they're a little more defensive and they're a little more combo. You know, like, with a good High Elf list, you're really kind of working on this... This synergizes with this. Dark Elf's list is just like, no. You go balls to the wall. You take these because they fucking kill everything and you run them at them.
So, did you have Corsairs in your list?
I did not.
Yeah, I was kind of like, where's the Corsairs? Because you were talking about just loving the shit out of them.
I do. You have to keep in mind that this list, which is, again, I would only started building lists for Dark Elves this evening because every single time I sat down to do it, I just ended up with my High Elf book on my lap instead. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that, again, the fact that this list was one of those things that kind of morphed from what I had initially started with, I would probably take the 400 points that I'm spending on Crossbowmen and end up taking Corsairs instead because it would buddy better with the Blackguard to have a combat unit on its flank instead of a shooting unit.
See, I would almost go the other direction, lose the Blackguard and take a bigger unit of Corsairs to go with the repeater crossbows, you know. And again, like, that's basically what I have in my list, obviously. I just think, you know, they make such a good choice to have those two units working together in your core.
At the same time, stubborn Blackguard with Power of Darkness are a fucking lawnmower. They are gonna run through anything that's not rocking a 1 or 2+ save.
It's a 5+ save. It's the problem I have with Blackguard is their Phoenix Guard without a 4+.
No, absolutely.
I just don't see any reason in taking something that costs that much.
But that is why I personally like High Elves better. Is Dark Elves are all offense. The only thing with any armor saves are chariots and knights. Yeah. You know, so it's just like everything is hyper.
Oh, no, Corsair's got a 4+. It's good. That's good for.
Oh yeah, you know what? You're right. Okay, you're right. 11 Corsairs. Points. Come on. No, I mean, it's great for fucking 11 points. But like you run through the heavy hitting combat units of this book. Witch Elves are naked. Sisters of Slaughter are naked. Mm-hmm. Executioners have a 5+, and yes, they are striking at initiative. Just looking for them 5, I think.
I think it's faster than that.
I was going to say...
Sister Slaughter Initiative 6.
No, not them. I'm talking Executioners 5.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because remember, sisters have ASF, and they're not going to lose it unless you're playing High Elves, Demonettes, the handful of units that have ASF, right? And who the fuck takes Demonettes? As a Demon player, let me first of all say, no one takes Demonettes. You know, so it's just like Executioners, they're only striking Initiative 5 with heavy armor. Blackguard, heavy armor. Witches, naked. Sisters, naked. So you've got all of these units, and every one of them suffers from a complete lack of survivability until you get into combat. Once they're in combat, their sheer output of combat, like damage, is what starts to swing fights their way.
Yeah.
Now, but that's why it's just like, what do you want to take? Because I agree with you. Like, when you look at high elves, you got white lions that at least get a plus one to their heavy armor save with the lion pelts. Mm-hmm. You've got Phoenix Guard with a ward save.
Mm-hmm.
You've got heavy cav in the core. So, I mean, like, you build yourself a very survivable list that doesn't have the failing of toughness 3-5 up.
Right. And what's interesting is, you know,
from it.
Yeah, what's interesting is even when you compare like executioners to swordmasters, like, yeah, executioners are cheaper, which is nice. You know, they're 12 points instead of 15.
But I was going to say that is the hardest one to do because swordmasters are not as strong. They're multiple attacks, higher weapon skill.
Higher weapon skill, multiple attacks, but they get to fight in three ranks. And I feel like that's what sets them apart is you can take a 15-man unit and throw out 20 attacks, right? 21. Because they're two attacks apiece, right?
Yeah, they are.
I fucked up their stat line last episode.
Oh, God. And you fucked it up when you were
I fucked sober. It up big time, yeah.
Oh, God. You fucked it up within like 5 minutes of the
podcast. I was just thinking how they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, they might not even have been that way. Who the fuck knows? I was using my slam with hover for like 2 years. I don't know what the fuck's happening in this.
No, basically, Harganeth executioners are white lions that have killing blow.
Right.
You know,
killing blow's nice.
But again, you're fucking strength six.
It's nice.
You are strength six with murderous prowess. What the fuck do you need killing blow for?
Rerolling ones,
think
man.
That's sorry?
When you're wounding on twos, rerolling ones is like everything wounds, but yeah, I know.
Like I said, everything wounds, but you're already at a minus three.
Yeah.
So the only thing you're not killing outright has a three up or better save, and you have better tools in your toolbox to deal with those. And that's kind of why I look at executioners. They're 1 point cheaper than white lions, but they are less survivable on the way in.
Yep.
And martial prowess is hands down better than murderous prowess.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, I mean, murderous prowess, you can do some very interesting things with it. I think that
murderous prowess combined with a cauldron of blood is better than
martial prowess. Okay, yes, that's very true. However, I think murderous prowess is nice because it's happening all the time, every game. Martial prowess is only happening really in your big units, you know, all your little stuff. It doesn't really ever come into play all that much. And for the most part, you know, you're going to get to a certain point in the game where it just stops doing anything for you.
You know what? That is fair.
And I think murderous prowess is nice because it's always there. It's going to be happening to the end of the earth. And, you know, having it on your characters is kind of a really nice, fancy thing. How much would you pay for an item on a character that lets you reroll ones when you roll the wound? For fuck's sakes. How many times have you gone in with a strength 8 character and rolled 3 ones?
Yeah, it definitely happens. But I mean, the thing that I find that differentiates the two armies and the difference between martial and murderous
color
scheme. Is I didn't even hear what you said.
I said color scheme.
Right. Well, you know, you've got the black and purple versus the white and blue. It's how you can tell the bad guy. It's like
black elves all be talking like this.
It's white like elves all be talking like in Rohan. Okay. What is this? What is this not blonde haired, blue eyed person wearing black doing here? Is he evil?
I hear you. I'm right there.
Right. No, but I mean, like, I find that with a high elf list, for the first time since 8th edition landed, I look at a high elf list and I'm like, why would I not go 5 wide? You know, because I'm like, I'm going 5 wide, I get 15 guys attacking. Whereas everything else, every other army wants to go with those big, huge, wide frontages. So even if you're going to run into, list with Blackguard, yeah, they're 30 strong, but I'm running them Horde. So I get everyone attacking because of the fact that I don't have martial prowess.
You have
prowess.
To play Dark Elves in the traditional manner that
you don't absolutely have to play. Do. Whereas my Phoenix Guard, I've got 24 with a mage in there just to throw out fucking Shield of Safari. So they're 5x5. Right. And you're just like, I get the same number of attacks, and now I actually get to deny my opponent attacks because I'm not playing this horde action.
Well,
I
mean,
with my demons, I run a horde of bloodletters. When I played Mr. Malorian, he had a horde of Savage Orcs. So what did I do? I pointed my horde at his horde because I knew that I would not lose any attacks. And that's the kind of game that ends up getting played. And Dark Elves are very traditional with that, except they don't have any armor to really help them get in. So I think that Dark Elves are really going to struggle against armies that are slinging lots of magic missiles or have a lot of shooting.
Well, they're toughness 3, so that's going to happen anyways. All right, now keep in mind here, you know, when we were talking about High Elves and you were struggling with a list for the longest time, and you beat me to it here, one of the things that I pointed out to you is like, well, High Elves, you can play MSU, like you can get away with taking a 15-man unit. You can get away with taking a 10-man unit and feel pretty good about it. This army, Dark Elves, because it has to play traditional, it does, however, do a much better job of giving you more options. With High Elves, I mean, you and I were almost like in line in terms of like, no, this is the list you build. Right, yep. I think you had more Tyranok chariots than I had, and like I think that was the difference between our two lists, right? But with the Dark Elves, like that list that I gave you is like one of three. Like I built a list that was like 2 35-man units of Corsairs with additional hand weapon, and like 2 Cold One chariots with supported by 2 Charybdis, supported by like every. I just basically doubled up on everything, and. You know, no special characters, just the sorceress in there, just the BSB in there. You know, really.
Did you take Lokir Felhart? Because I find did. He's worth it.
Yeah, I took Lokir Felhart was in my list. Because I think that was the one I was.
The hero who plays like a lord.
I was like, I got to take him. I got to take this guy in there. And so that was the list that I built around him.
I was going to say, the model is really nice.
It is a really nice model. However, I was more happy with this list. I'd even gone, you know, and I know you did as well. Start putting together a witch list, and all you do is go, it's still just a witch list.
Yeah, you know, I actually did start with that one. I'm like, okay, so you take fucking Hellebron, you put her on a cauldron, and then you take another BSB, put her on a cauldron, you put them in units, and I was like, and that's your army! Because your units of witches need to be big enough to deal with the fact that you're fucking naked.
Yeah, you have to have, like, 3 huge units. You're going to want to take 2 cauldrons. I think one straight is up. A waste of time. It's like, yeah, you take Hellebron, you put it on a cauldron, but then you go take a fucking Death Hag and you put her on a cauldron.
And make her your BSB.
Exactly, right? And like that's what you're going to end up running. And it's this weird kind of dull list that costs you like you have to cut a finger off and blow a guy and then give him $1,000, and then he's like, okay, here's those models.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sure, you know, you were giving blowjobs in the bus stop for, like, fucking meth, but I was doing it for witch elves, man. I mean, like...
You really took that metaphor to a dark place, Nate. But, okay, there's one last thing I want to talk about.
I was only talking about fellatio. You were talking about self-mutilation, so I don't know who was darker.
Not an important finger. Like, your pinky above the first knuckle. Like, not even really, you know, you don't even really need it.
Like Davos Seaworth, kind of, right. Like...
That's what I'm... Is that a Dark Elf special character I'm not aware of? All right, so... you know, I talked about it on the show, and I'd had a couple people say, like, oh, you missed the mark on that unit, which is the Doomfire Warlocks. And I wanted to take some time to get your opinion on them because neither of us included them in any of our lists. And a couple of the games that I'd heard people talking about and a couple of the battle reports that I read were very much like, oh, yeah, no, they feel great. And then you just like will have a bad magic phase and they just don't feel like they're doing a whole lot. And you're always kind of timid about putting them into combat. And I went back and I reread the rules. Like I said, I would, and really tried to get a good grasp of like, how am I going to play these guys?
Spells they have, first of all.
I probably did. It's Soulblight and
Doombolt. You said they had Power of Darkness.
Power of Darkness and Doombolt. Right. Yeah, I caught that as well. So I was drunk. But basically, I haven't changed my stance on them. I just don't think that for 25 points a model, you know, 4+ ward save is nice, but
listen. If I had 100 points left over, I would trim to be able to take a unit of 5. And the reason for that is reliability, okay? Doombolt is a great spell. No one has ever said that 2d6 strength 5 with the ability to go up to fucking 4d6 strength 5 is a bad thing to have. Especially when you combine it with the fact that your regular wizards can sling Power of Darkness to boost more power dice into your phase. Mm-hmm. So you should never be starved for dice. Soul Blight is, again, another one of those really useful spells. I mean, it's negative Wisten's Wild Form. And you and I talk about how amazing Wisten's Wild Form is at all times, because it is. I stand by the assertion that it is the best signature spell out of every rulebook lore, hands down. Mm-hmm. So the ability to run around, you're never going to charge into combat, so all their fucking poisoned attacks and bullshit is who gives a fuck? You never want them in combat. But being able to be movement 9, run on the flanks, hit a unit with Soul Blight, which is going to help your strength 3, toughness 3, piece of shit elves win combats. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what it is. Because when you look at it, like, because again, for 125 points, you take 5. And I would never, ever do anything else. And I know there's some people that are just like, and then you put your wizard on a dark steed and you put her like, no, fuck that. Because the way I see it is if you're playing a toughness 3 army, you can zip them up a flank. You can fucking soul blight something your corsairs are fighting. And if you power of darkness your corsairs, they're now wounding on 2s. And that's why I'm just like, for 125 points, an extra doom bolt at range, you know, when nothing's in combat is fun. And an extra soul blight is great. And that way, if you fucking wipe them out, they were the last 100 points. So I don't give a fuck, you know, so 125. Like, well, no, I know that, but that's what I was saying, is if I had 100 points left, I would trim, like, champions and shit to take them.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is I'm like, I don't care if they die, but they've got enough decent utility that there's going to be a game where they're going to win, you know, that combo of Power of Darkness on this Strength 3 unit, Soul Blight on that fucking Toughness 3 unit is just going to mesh well, and you're just going to be like, I'm glad I bought them.
Listen, man, I get it. I
do not go out of my way to put them in because fuck them.
I get it that they can be there in that clutch moment, but for 125 points, you can take 7 shades. You can take another Cold One Chariot.
Right? I was going to say Cold One Chariot.
I mean, I would lean toward the shades. But like, you know, shades with great weapons are 18 points apiece, right? Like I'd rather take shades with great weapons because, you know, they've got a little bit of shooting. I love the, you know, scout, all that kind of good stuff.
I mean, for skirmishers,
like it's just, I think that they're a better choice. And we've all come to learn with 8th edition, you can't depend on the magic phase. Like your army cannot live or die in the magic phase. What's that?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I still remember everyone freaking the fuck out about like remove from play spells. Mm-hmm. Black Sun, I mean, for our Purple Sun, remember? I mean, for fuck's sake, wasn't our first episode called Purple Sunburn?
Yes,
because everyone was just like, this spell is ridiculous, and oh my god, I lose because of this spell, and it's unfair. And who the fuck says that anymore?
Because people still whine. I think they're just tired of whining about it.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, they're whining for the sake of whining. But I mean, like,
they are gamers.
Right? Well, at least
isn't that the point of this show?
I was going to say, at least we're not video gamers, because holy shit, do those people want.
No, I just...
No, like I said, if you say, okay, I got 125 points left, 130 points, you know, and you take them, I will never, ever look at someone and say that's a bad choice. Because you know what? Like I said, you got a free Soul Blight, you don't have to roll for it, you know, you got another Doom Bolt. They're nothing but useful. Mm-hmm. With the spells that they know, but it kind of comes down to that whole thing that I have been saying about bound spells. If you've got a level 4 caster, they're dominating your magic phase. You know, they're taking all of your power dice. So why, you know, you're typically not going to have any power dice left for them. In which case, you got 5 jackasses that can't even carry a banner, which means mm-hmm. you can't even get them to improve your blood and glory count.
Right.
Running around that's easily wiped out because they're T3 with nothing but a 4+ ward save.
Right. Well, I think the other thing about the casting level is unless you're putting the extra 3 ranks in there and taking a unit of 20, which is just bananas.
Yeah, don't do that.
They're only casting it at a level 2. Now, I'm not saying the level 2 is crap or anything, but like when you're throwing a spell like that in a clutch moment with a level 2, you're throwing quite a few extra dice at it. Not only just to make sure that you get it, because I don't think Soulblight has a very high casting cost, but, you know...
No, I don't think it does.
I think it's only like a 7 or something like that, 7 or 8.
Sorry, I got Army Builder open. I'm just going to go find it.
Yeah, fire away. So, you're still going to end up throwing 3 or 4 dice at it.
9.
9, 6. Okay, you're going to throw 4 or 5 dice at it.
Well, on a level 2, you only need to roll a 7.
I'm aware.
But don't like, they also
it's going to be that clutch moment.
I was going to say, don't they also have the blah, blah, blah blessing or whatever it is that's plus 1 to cast?
They do not. The Hecarchibader. Yeah, the, no, that's only sorceress.
That's some bullshit.
That's correct. They do not have it, which is why...
Yeah, you know what? For 125 points, like I said, if I see you take them, I'm never just going to be like, what are you, fucking stupid? The way if you're just like, I've got 2 of the fucking bolt thrower chariots. It's like when you see Sky Claw, you know, Eagle Claw bolt throwers off the fucking Sky Cutters in a high elf list. Yeah. And you're just like, I get that the model's really nice, but are you retarded?
Why?
You're clearly retarded, right? Strength 5 bolt thrower on a flying eagle. Retarded. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I'm just like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm never going to look at someone and say you're stupid for taking the unit because I can see the situations where you will be grateful to have them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, they are very dependent. When they work, you're going to be thankful for them. Yep. When they don't work, you're not even going to notice them. And I think that's the point where I'm just like, for 125 points, yeah, that is 7 shades with great mm-hmm. weapons. That is fucking a cold one chariot. You know, and it's just shit. If you have 125 points, go shave 35 more and take a Charybdis. You'll mm-hmm. be happier in every situation with that badass.
Right. And that's kind of what I keep getting at. I think that this is a well-designed book, not necessarily well-edited, but it's a well-designed book. There's some very interesting options in there. There's some fun stuff that I think is, you know, it allows people to play a couple of different types of lists and really enjoy them. I stand by what I said about repeater crossbows. I think that they're the thing that's always going into my list. Like there's always gonna be a unit in that list, especially with a Cauldron of Blood as the rules written right now. But I think that, you know, with a shield for 13 points, you know, I think that they're a good, you know, smart unit with always strikes say, first and all that kind of shit. They're solid.
I think my only issue is, and I hate to continually draw comparisons to high elves because we were talking about dark elves, but you know what? They're both very...
You have to, like, though. We're going to be doing this when wood elves come out.
Oh, absolutely when wood elves come out, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to say it right now. We were correct. When we said that there was the rumors that said that they wanted to bring all elf armies into line and saying that this is the elf set of universal special rules, well, we see them. Elf universal special rules are ASF, prowess that starts with the letter M, mm-hmm. and an ability that modifies your magic phase. And again, I have really good ideas, which I would be shocked if I was wrong about, for those two that wood elves are going to get. And I'm actually really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to ASF and M prowess and, you know, all of this other stuff with the wood elf list. But we were right. They have done that with both high elves and dark elves. And so it's hard to talk about one without talking about the other.
Okay, so you were saying about repeater crossbows compared to...
Yeah, at 13 points... Oh my god, White Lion of Trace. It's 13 points as well. And fucking Strength 6 Great Weapon, 4 plus save versus shooting. You know, martial prowess to fight in 4 ranks. And that's why I'm just like, yeah, the repeater crossbowman's good. But, and this was my problem all week when I was reading the book. Because, I mean, I bought it the day I got back from Salt Lake City. Or actually, the next day, because I got back at like 10 at night. So everything was closed. You know, but I got it as soon as I could. I had a read through it. You know, I was impressed. Because again, you know, A, it's a Matt Ward codex, so standards are really low. And B, you know, it wasn't as bad as the internet was going on about. Because when there was just rumors of ASF and this, you know.
Well, they were saying they're going to get ASF and Eternal, or what was it?
And the hatred that they have, and murderous prowess. And you're just like, holy hot damn. Honestly, I think that... Hatred High Elves is slightly better than Reroll Panic, Fear, and Terror Check. So I think that Dark Elves have an edge when fighting High Elves.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at both armies versus
any... They have a very mild edge because the monsters are so much better in the High Elf list.
Oh, God. Flamespire Phoenix. Way better. Oh,
all right. So, yeah. That is our review of the Dark Elf army book. Again, it's still very positive. I was surprised to see it because it's been getting a little sketchy with a lot of the releases that we're seeing where we're just kind of like, but it's just not blah, blah, blah. But we all knew that things were going to come into line just like they did with Lizardmen. We've seen it now with the Dark Elves. But I think Dark Elf players, unless you had a ton of Hydras, might not be all that happy. But for the most part, I don't think I would call you stupid for taking anything in this book. Like, I don't think there's any one unit where if you took it in the right quantities and in the right situation that I would just be like, you're a moron. Why would you ever take that? I think there's some decent stuff in there. Even bolt throwers, I'd just be like, for 70 points, if you got
to. Dude, yeah, 70 points can take.
Go for it. Why not, right?
Eight.
All right. So, as we kind of alluded to before, Matt Ward loves to grab an idea and latch onto it and dig his claws in and begin drinking its life force. So with the High Elves, we saw martial prowess. With the Dark Elves, we saw murderous prowess. What do we think it's going to be for the Wood Elves? It's obviously going to start with M and be prowess. Your first thing to me was mossy prowess, and I came back and said, no, it's going to either be musical prowess, which I doubt, or it'll be mystic prowess.
Really? See, I would bet that it will be musical prowess, and the rule for it is going to be that all musicians in a Wood Elf list will count as banners. So you'll get +2 if you're in musician standard.
See, I think it's going to be mystic prowess, and the reason, or mystical prowess, I think... Wood Elves are going to have an innate magic defense. I think all Wood Elf units with that special rule will have magic resist 1. And then I think it'll be like a special thing that goes in, like if you toss a character in that unit, then it's stackable. So it'll be like magic resist 2 on that unit.
I was going to say possibly.
Because I think it has to be something that goes on every single unit. And it has to be something that will also function on characters as a bonus. Well, I guess martial prowess doesn't really...
Yeah, I was going to say, martial prowess, despite the fact that every character has it, does nothing for them. But no, that's why I'm just like, I think me was, the moment you said musical prowess, I'm like, fuck, that's it. Because it's just like, war dancers can take a musician, can't take a banner. That's why I'm just like, I was just looking at it, I'm like, it's going to be that, and I'll bet that it's like, I just get like an extra banner, so I'll have +2 if I take
extra combat res is, we know it's 25 points. Right, we know it's a war banner is 25 points. I mean, I guess a 25 point upgrade on a unit for free for every.
Well, I mean, you're still paying the 10 point, right? Because the banner is 10 points. The musician, like everything, is 10 points. So you're just like, you're still paying it. Musicians, for the most part, don't really do a lot. I mean, like honestly, I think that the only thing that I use musicians for in 8th edition is Swift Reforms. Mm-hmm. So I could see them pushing towards it. But with that being said, magic resist
always the first thing you drop.
Like a good thing. Yeah, they are absolutely the first
thing. It won't be magical prowess. I think it's just going to be like mystical prowess or something like that.
And then, because High Elves have +1 to dispel, Dark Elves have +1 to cast, I am going to bet that Wood Elves are probably going to just be like, every wizard knows like tree singing or something.
You and think that's they're going to go back to the whole, like, every... Because they got rid of it in Dark Elves, and they got rid of it in other books where wizards, like, innately knew certain stuff. I don't think they're going to go back that way. I think when it comes to the magic phase, what we're probably going to get is the option to go one way or the other. Like, we might even get two different kinds of, like, spell singers. And where it's going to be like, well, you know, if you use these spells, you get +1. And when you try to cast these, like maybe, okay, for instance, if it's an offensive spell, you get +1 to cast. That doesn't even make any fucking sense.
No, but, and that's the thing. Yeah, in order to keep it different from High Elves and Dark Elves, which we know that they're going to do. So we know the wizards are going to have access to all 8 lores, and they're going to have some random wizardy ability. Yeah. And that's why I'm just like, you know.
I think it's going to be shifty. I think it's going to be a lot of like, I mean, set on one.
It could, you know what, possibly, or it could just be that they'll, you know, that they're going to be, that all wizards are like forest spirits that can join elf units, or they'll be ethereal or something.
Yeah.
Hard to say. We know that from, this is the template of elf. And I have no doubt that Matt Ward wrote High Elves, Dark Elves, and started on Wood Elves at the same times, because there are so many similarities between the two books that we have seen so far. And that's why I'm just like, we can expect a wizard universal special rule, access to all 8 lores, M prowess, ASF. For me, I find that the reason why Wood Elves are probably going to be a little bit further behind is forest spirits are always that kind of wild card where it's just like, well, how do you handle them?
I think that they're going to stick to what they've been doing for Forest Spirits. I would not be surprised if we didn't see really anything change. I think we're really going to see changes the way that the unit composition works. They're not going to stick with the whole let's skirmish, blah, blah, blah. I just don't think there's any reason to do it anymore.
You know, honestly, I miss old Beastmen skirmish rules where it's just like, you're a skirmishing unit that gets a rank bonus, but your maximum is 2 instead of 3.
Yeah.
And holy fuck, if I could just see them come back to that rule for like Forest Spirits, like Triads, mm-hmm. that fixes every issue that Triads have.
Yeah. Well, I think that would absolutely be awesome to see that for something like Triads, which is such a cool kit and a fucking awesome unit. And everybody loves Forest Spirits. But yeah, so I'm saying Mystical Prowess and Nathan is saying Musical Prowess. So that's the weekly listener poll for this week. We'll have some amalgamation of what we talked about formed into a loose question on the website at jadedgamercast.com. You know, I watch a lot of TV because like it's now like TV's all started back up again. I'm amped. I'm watching Supernatural, Sons of Anarchy.
I don't have cables.
So. Oh, I know you don't. But like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started up and Arrow started back up again, which I know I shouldn't enjoy, but I really do. And it's like, yeah, I got a lot of TV happening right now. It's all really like fun, nerdy stuff. But what's hilarious is that like it's so popular now to have fun, nerdy television that like the WB is just doubling down on every aspect of nerd culture as often as they can, where like their newest lineup of shows, one of them is Teens in a Dystopian Future Earth. The next one is teens in a
dystopian past Earth.
No. It's in a like science fiction-y superhero setting where they basically have telekinesis, telepathy and teleportation, even though those powers have nothing to do with each other, but they all start with tele. So obviously, I mean, for fuck's sakes, and they can also stop time because that's also another T power. And then they've got another one where they throw, and this show's been running for a while now, I think one season, but freaking Beauty and the Beast, where it's just like teens, but with, you know, like werewolves and shit. Like, it's just every single thing they throw down is just like teens and this, whereas like Supernatural. I was
gonna say, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and fucking Smallville made that.
Oh my network. God, like that was exactly what that was. But it's hilarious because like Supernatural and Arrow are like the two shows where it's like, no, it's not really teens. Like there's not really any teens in them. And they don't really do anything, but like the writers are fun and they absolutely know the product that they are selling and they make fun of themselves constantly. So it's pretty entertaining. So no, I'm enjoying Arrow, but yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is fun. Actually, I think that's probably the most fun show I've watched in a really long time. Like just, you know, like, yes, it's kiddie and it's hacky at times, but it's just, it makes you smile the whole way through. And Joss Whedon writes and directs it, so it's super witty and funny. You should definitely watch that one. You should go, like, stream it.
I do. I'm honestly waiting for the whole season. I typically binge on TV, and from what I've heard thus far from everyone that isn't you, is that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is showing a lot of potential, but is really fucking boring right now. They're just like, there just isn't a lot of things happening, and I can't wait because they're setting everything up so that maybe in the future something cool is going to happen, and I'm just waiting.
I hold it to a very different standard because it's network television. Network television and any sort of like sci-fi superhero setting. I know, even that
Carl
setting.
Urban Fox right. sci-fi show, which looks mind-fuckingly good I'm from just the...
amped for it.
Oh my god, like, oh.
Yeah, but anyway. Almost human. But yeah.
Yes, I was going to say, like, I'm just like, I'm downloading that in real time. I know I typically binge, but I don't give a fuck.
Well, exactly, right? Like, it's one of those things, though, where with network television...
being Fox, it's going to be pretty awful in terms of pacing.
Being Fox, it means that they have to keep it fast-paced the entire way through, or they will be canceled at any moment. So, I mean, it's J.J. Abrams, so I don't think they're ever going to really do anything bad to J.J. Abrams, but... like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think is like CBS or NBC or something. So like it is the CSI networks, right? Like it, you have to meet a certain criteria for those like home, you know, wholesome Christian home television networks. Yeah. And that means a lot of it has to be, we have to make sure we're constantly appealing to wider audiences. And it's also written for kids to watch, and it's written for old people to watch, and it's written for, like, every single audience in the world. It's not like a TV show that's being released on Space Channel or Sci-Fi Channel. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Whereas where they know the audience that they're directing this to watches Doctor Who and watched all of Heroes and will totally pick up on this show should you decide to take off from here. So I think it's a different market that they're selling it to. So I give it a lot of leeway, but it's fun.
Yeah, listen, I have no doubt that by the end of the season, because I do know that they picked up the full season mm-hmm. off of the pilot. So I'm yep. just like, yeah, you know what? It, you know, there's no real worry of it being canceled because of that. So I'm just like, by the end of the season, I'm sure it'll have picked up its pace, you know, got its feet, and it'll be worth watching. But I'm like, for right like now, I'm like,
Sweden show.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't see any reason to really just kind of rush out and be like edge of my seat waiting for it when I can just wait for the season to be done.
Oh, no, it's hard.
Watch the whole season arc, you know, in like a weekend.
And yeah, they haven't had any red weddings yet on that show. So, I mean, for the most part, you know.
Just I was still surprised that was the second last episode of the
season. I
know,
right?
Season. I was like, what?
Just making, you know, like just making the time to watch it and actually watching it is the big thing. Because, like I said, it's a pretty enjoyable show. Sons of Anarchy is crazy. Supernatural is okay now. I mean, it's definitely good. This is your lying update, your television watching update. I watch way too much television. I watch a ton of television, like at work and when I exercise and like when I'm painting. And like, I think the only time I'm not watching television is like I'm spending time with my kids or I'm playing video games. Like that's literally the only fucking time nice. I'm not watching television. Oh, sweet Jesus.
I was going to say, I've been rewatching Star Trek Deep Space Nine because of the Dominion War event.
Yeah, I want to actually sit down and watch through it, but I want to finish Enterprise. Enterprise has been...
Poor, sad.
Listen, season one, dull. Season two, less dull. Season three, surprisingly good and exciting. Like, you know, just surprisingly good.
You know who else? You know, I've heard this, not describing Enterprise, but I've heard a lot of fans of Babylon 5 describe that show in the exact same way. So,
except for it's like five seasons.
I was going to say, you heard it for me first. Lang loves the new Babylon 5.
I'm not promoting Enterprise. I'm telling you the breakdown of watching it because I'm hankering for fucking Star Wars as much as you do. The difference is, or Star Trek. The difference is if you get a hankering for Babylon 5 and you go back to try to watch that shit, you can't get three episodes into it. All right. And it's like five seasons before it gets good, according to most people.
Hey, but listen, I was going to say, I haven't watched the fifth season of Babylon 5, but I can say season one, shit. Season two, shit. Season three, mostly shit with a couple of episodes that weren't terrible. Season four, shit. And I couldn't be bothered to watch the last season. So that's Babylon 5.
So the last season of Enterprise, season four, I'm about six episodes in and it's back to dull, unfortunately. So, I'll probably grind my way through it and get it done. But for the most part, it's unfortunate. And then I'll go back and watch Deep Space Nine again. Deep Space Nine, the Star Trek that says, of course we use holodecks for sex. What did you think we used it? Yeah.
God, there's been like three or four episodes where Quark is even telling Jake where he's just like, listen, you start writing some more erotic holosuite programs. Yeah. You make a lot of latinum.
Dude, that's the way you play it. And it's just like, that's your contribution to the future, man. That's why there's no art in the future. It's just holodeck. Like, it's when you've got the holodeck, there's no reason to create new symphonies. Like, there's more culture in the Klingon Empire, for fuck's sakes. Everyone in the Federation wears onesies and it spends half their day on the holodeck fucking Lucy Liu, you know?
Well, and that's why they're always talking about Klingon opera.
Yes, you know, that's like what that. I was saying, right? Yeah. That's been Jaded Gamer Cast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.